Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
It's so good to have you all here with me to help me celebrate my birthday and to help me and Pastor Sister Renee celebrate 12 years of pastoral ministry here at the Haven of Hope Church. Praise be unto God. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've been in ministry now for 41 years. I can't believe I'm saying that. 41 years. Hush up, Ricky. Quit. You and Bob both. 41 years of ministry. Of course, I used to look at it different than that because the first 27 years was youth and children's ministry. And I felt like a youngin' most of the time. I usually feel like a youngin' anyway up to the last couple of years. Praise be unto the living God. But I'm excited about being able to return to the pulpit today. I'm thankful for God for blessing me such that He has and bringing me back from where He's brought me.
Yes, amen to that.
Thank you, Brother Donnie. I'm thankful for you being here today and helping me celebrate. Sister Trina, thank you for helping us sing that song this morning. Sister Trina brought that song to us, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And we used to sing it everywhere we went. We used to get called to go to different places and sing that song. When I found out she was going to be coming today, I said, would you please sing that song with us this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. I love that. JW's favorite. I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Rather lengthy passage of Scripture. Philippians 3 and 1. At least that's what this is. Hallelujah. And I know it's 10 minutes to 12. But we ain't got to worry about getting in line at the restaurant today. So if it's all right with you, I'm going to preach this morning. Is that all right with you? Yeah, we got our own restaurant across the way over here. Praise God. Philippians 3 and 1, if you're capable of standing, would you please honor the reading of God's word as we read it this morning. Hallelujah. Philippians 3 and 1 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if either any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. You know what? You can be seated. I'm not going to go by my notes today, I don't think. Is that all right with y'all? Paul was sitting here. Thank you, Thu.
You're welcome.
Methuselah over there. Paul was sitting here talking about, he was getting ready to get to a point, and I don't know if I'm going to get to that point today, but I'm going to try. Paul was sitting here talking about how if anybody should boast, you ain't got no more to boast about in the Lord than he did. Because when he was named Saul, he was a doctor of the law. He was a doctor of the scripture. He was of the Sanhedrin. He was a Sadducee. He was so sad, you see. He was a doctor of the law. And he talked about it right here. He said, if any of you start thinking about how wise you are and how much you know about the word, he said, you ain't going to know what I know. He was a little bit arrogant. He said, I have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, circumcised on the eighth day, and of the stock of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. He was really way up there. And he was bragging about the fact. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. See, he was sitting here talking about all the things that he knew, all the doctrines that he had, he was a doctor of the law. He was well known in scripture. He was very high up in society, in the culture of the tribes of Israel. He was very well knowledgeable about the scriptures. And he said, now count all of that loss so that I can come to Christ. Oh, how many times do we get so proud of ourselves? How many times, we was talking about that on Facebook this week, weren't we, Brother David? How many times do we get up so proud of ourselves and doing the things that we think we are so mighty and so high-minded of God? And so easily shall we fall. Amen? And we get to the point that we think we're so high and mighty, but what we've got to do is we've got to realize that I am nothing without Christ in me. I am nothing without His anointing. I'm nothing without His love. I'm nothing without His grace. I'm nothing without His mercy. How many times do we look at ourselves and think, how much better am I than they? I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture where the publican and the Pharisee went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast all the time. I tithe, I give, I study the word, and I'm not like this publican over here. Thank you, Lord, for that. And that publican just sitting there beating his chest saying, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Which one of those men do you think had the mind of God? When we start getting to the point that we start, I don't know how in the world this ended up in this message because it ain't nothing what I studied. When we get to the point that we start thinking how high and mighty we are in the Lord, something's wrong. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about how the fact is when we get to the point that what we let somebody else get on our nerves so bad that we start talking about them. We start sharing their faults. We don't gossip, we share. We start gathering a crowd and sharing their faults with one another. My Bible tells me that if there's any fault sharing to be done, that I need to be sharing my faults with you. And quite often I ain't got to do that because y'all see them quite clearly. We ought not to be thinking how high we are over somebody else.
Yeah, that's right.
When we get to that point, we start thinking about how much better we are than somebody else, something's bad wrong in our walk.
Yeah, that's
Amen? Amen. Here's what Paul said later on. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm going to tell you something, saints. I can't live up to my righteousness. I can't live up to yours. And some of y'all let me know that a lot. I love you, though. But when it comes to living up to God's righteousness, I love the part where Jesus said, I came. He was talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. He said, I didn't come to destroy the old, but I came to establish the new. Do you know what he's talking about? The book of the Old Testament is the book of the law. And it got to the point that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those guys in the Sanhedrin, they were writing their own commandments, and they got up to around 238 of them at some point. And most of them commandments were meant to make money for them, to give them a high place. And it got to the point that you couldn't live up to the letter of the law. You couldn't, but God gave us the letter of the law because at that time in the Old Testament, man was a child. We were children in the faith. And you know, when you're raising your children, that belt goes across their hinds sometimes when they don't do exactly like you say, right? But when they get older, we start letting them make their own choices and making their own decisions. And we start praying that God will let them remember the things that we have taught them and live by the spirit of the law that we taught them, which is what the New Testament is. Because Jesus said, he basically told us, you can't live by the letter of the law. It can't be done. You can't do it. But you can follow the spirit of the law that God intended for us. You can do that. Am I saying go ahead and commit sin because you can't help but fail? That ain't what I'm saying. God, Paul said that. He said, God forbid. He said, sin, you don't have a license to sin because of God's grace. You don't have a license to sin because you're living in the spirit of the law. You don't have a license to sin. You're not supposed to just say, okay, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm going to fail anyway. No, you don't do that. You do your best to live up to the word of the law by living by the spirit of the law. And when you fail, oh, thank you, Lord. You're sending me right where I wanted to go. When you fail, that's when you come to the spirit of the law. And you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I tried, but I messed up. You don't come to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I didn't try because I knew you was going to forgive me anyway. Hebrews 10 and 25 will let you know about that. You read that sometime and let it scare you just a little bit. Amen? But when you read that and it scares you, you call me and I'll help you. I'll straighten you out of it. That the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. Because the Hebrews, the children of Israel who had become Christians, were starting to go back and living by the letter of the law. And they were starting to go back to the point of making sacrifices again for their sin instead of living on the fact that Christ died as a sacrifice for their sin. And that's why Paul wrote them the letter and said, once you've come to the knowledge of Christ, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You don't get to keep making sacrifices and that cover your sin because that don't work. The only one that can cover your sin now is Jesus Christ through his grace and mercy. Amen? How many times... Lord, have mercy. I'm not going to ask you how many times have you failed God. How many times have I failed God? There have been times in this 41 years of ministry that I was literally ashamed to call on his name because of how far I had fallen. And when it got to that point, I knew something was wrong, and I knew I had to find myself in an altar of prayer again and get my heart right with the Lord again. Well, Pastor, you don't deserve to be behind the pulpit. Never said I did. Never wanted to. Argued with God when he called me to the pulpit ministry. I argued with him, said, I don't want to do it. I ain't got no business being up there. I don't know enough about the Word of God to be up there. He said, well, let me tell you what you need to do. And he told me what I needed to preach. And I did exactly what he said. I told him, I said, there's another, you know, this other friend of mine, God, I know that he's the one you need to talk to. I know he's the one that you need to call to the pulpit. He's the one that needs to be preaching. He said, I've talked to him, but he ain't having none. Now I'm talking to you. I argued with the Lord for months before I finally gave in and said, okay, I'll do my best, Lord, but you know how to help me. Praise God, he does help me. Some of y'all might not think so, but I do. And then Paul said this in verse 10. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made comfortable, conformable unto his death. That I may know him. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. During this time, these past 3 months that I have been down, and it's been 3 months that I have been down, I have been fighting spiritual battles like you would not believe. The devil has been trying his best to attack my soul, my spirit man, and I have been fighting battles with him and fighting battles with him, and I would get to the point that I'd say, Lord, help me. I can't fight this no more. I ain't got what I need to fight it. Lord, help me. And you know what? He always does. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Praise God. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, and pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your past might be sin. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Your past might be sickness. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By those stripes ye were healed. Think about that word right now. Were healed. It's already happened. Your healing is there. All you have to do is reach out and receive it. Reach out and accept it. Your past might be sickness, but by his stripes, your sins, your sicknesses were healed. Hallelujah. Your past might be loss. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 30:5 says, for his anger endureth for a moment, but in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Devil, if you wanted to take me out, you should have got me in the night. If you wanted to stop my faith, you needed to stop me in the night. If you wanted to take my life, you needed to take me in the night. Because weeping may last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Somebody say hallelujah, hallelujah. Your past might be addiction. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. Hallelujah. I praise God. I was addicted to painkillers. I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to nicotine. But God, I don't call myself an alcoholic. I don't call myself an addict because I'm not one anymore. I didn't break it by a 12-step program. I didn't break it. The Lord himself delivered me in an altar of prayer. So I'm not claiming any more of that stuff for myself. 41 years clean and sober because of the delivering power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your past might be being physically abused. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised. You might have suffered abuse, beatings, tribulation within family, within relationships. That he has come to set you at liberty, to set you free. If you will abide by the word of God, hallelujah. Your past might be being lost and alone without God. Psalms 68:4 says, sing unto the Lord, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah. And rejoice before him, the father of the fatherless and the judge of the widows. Is God in his holy habitation? God sitteth on the solitary in families. He bringeth out these which are bound in chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You don't have to live in Lodibar anymore. Lodibar was that place that was barren. You couldn't even grow crops in that place. And that was where Mephibosheth, who was of the lineage of Saul and Jonathan, that was where he was exiled to when David took his kingship. But David, when he found out that Mephibosheth was in Lodibar, he said, no, he is of the household of faith. He is of the kingship. He said, go and find Mephibosheth and bring him to my house. Sit him at my table. Put him in my house. Give him his own room. He will have the inheritance like my family does because he is of the household of faith. Praise God. Paul said, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. With everything that's in me, I'm going to forget my past. Hallelujah. God made it easy. You did not want to know me before the Lord Jesus came into my heart and washed away my sins. You did not want to know me. A number of fathers refused to have his daughters come anywhere near me. A number of fathers refused to have their kids come anywhere near me because of the influence that I was. I led so many people to hell in the life that I lived before I came to Christ. But praise be unto God. On August 12, 1983, at the Kinley Church of God in a revival with Reverend Farrell Hardison, the Lord came into my heart, forgave me of my sin. I repented before him, and it was like I woke up from a dream, and my life before that day is just like a dream that I can barely remember. The only life that I admit to now is the life that I have lived since August 12, 1983. It's the only existence I know, the only existence that makes any reality sense to me. Because the Lord gave it to me to forget those things which are behind and to press toward the mark of the high calling. Go ahead, Mason. A few months ago, I had been suffering from several health issues, and I had been contemplating my own department from this house, from this place, from this life. I'd been thinking about leaving this world and finding myself in the portals of glory. I thought about it a lot. And I started making plans. I started setting things up in the church so that it would continue to run if I left. I started dealing with Pastor Jess and Pastor Sarah. How to take things over and how to run things if I was gone. My health started declining. We were sitting in that office during a staff meeting a few months ago in October, just 2 weeks before I went into the hospital. And I had been contemplating my own death, my own passing. I'm going to tell you something, saints. That don't bother me. Because for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I live, I am Christ to everybody I meet. But if I die, I am with Him. So either way, He is mine. It didn't bother me to think that I might be passing on. As a matter of fact, sometimes I started rejoicing in the fact that it was coming. But sitting in that office during a staff meeting, I felt the Holy Ghost move over me, and I began to speak what the Lord gave me. And He said, don't sit back and contemplate your departure. Because you're not going anywhere until I'm done with you, and I'm not done with you just yet. I thought He was talking to me about what I had been thinking. I thought He was talking to me about the things that I had been setting in order. But within just a week of that day, I found myself in the hospital thinking I was getting ready to leave this world. And I don't care. There's some people I don't want to leave behind. Precious, Big Mama, Sarah and Alicia and you. I don't want to leave those behind. And I love you, but I don't love you enough not to go to heaven. But the Lord started dealing with me and saying, it ain't time yet. I didn't know what He was saying to me at that time. I thought He was just telling me to stop thinking that way. What had happened was I almost left this world. Heart troubles several days in a row. Spent several days in the hospital. And they told me I was having a cardiac event. I asked them, well, how long will it be before I can get back to my old self? And they dodged the question. They wouldn't answer the question. Instead, they started talking about disability, being on disability. And I started thinking, well, they must think there ain't nothing, I ain't never getting better. It's been a slow road, saints. But praise God, I'm on my way. The fact that I'm able to stand up here today and bring this word. But the Lord told me, I'm not done with you yet. Now, I was being selfish, thinking about going on and being with Him. But He said, I'm not done with you yet. In other words, forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark. There's work that I have to do here. Hallelujah. And God began to anoint me this week and started putting things into my spirit. I have preached a number of messages talking about proclaiming victory, proclaiming deliverance, proclaiming healing, proclaiming salvation. And the Lord told me to start proclaiming anointing. Not for myself. Oh, dear God, I feel His presence. I feel His anointing right now. Proclaim anointing. Not on me, but on you as the body of Christ. The Lord said to start proclaiming anointing on you, that you would be anointed to reach the lost loved ones and friends and those that you're acquainted with that don't know the Lord. He said, you're not going to bring them in. They are. Hallelujah! You don't understand what I'm saying to you, saints. The Lord said, I'm going to start watching you. And as He began to deal with me about that, last Sunday we did live stream service because everybody was sick. And I had somebody contact me after that live stream service, and I hadn't said anything about that. But they said that the Lord had started anointing family members. And they were reaching out to brothers and sisters and cousins. I'm going to start trying to bring them to the house of God. And they were speaking like it was already done. Calling those things which are not as though they were. You're a child of God. You're a child of faith. You can call those things which are not as though they were. Well, Pastor, we've tried before to witness. Paul said, I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, and that is forgetting those things which are behind. And pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. It's time for us, saints of God, to press towards the mark. 12 years ago, My first service here, I preached the message, Pressing Toward the Mark. And the Lord told me to bring that word again today. I didn't exactly bring the same one I started out to, but it didn't end up that way. But I ended up where He wanted me to go. Would you stand with me all over the house today?
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center. Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.